Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good to see all of you, your smiling faces. So we're going to continue in the book of Acts today, Acts chapter 2, and we're gonna deal with this last devotion. We've been dealing with these four devotions that we see in the original first century church here. We've talked about fellowship, and we've talked about the apostles' teaching and the breaking of bread, and truly, I think what we're talking about this week might be the atom bomb, if you would say, the pinnacle of what it means to be an authentic community, what it means to be an authentic believer, and this devotion to prayer. And I gotta admit something to you, that this particular devotion is one that I have consistently struggled with in my life. Just these patches in my life where I feel like I'm doing a lot of talking and I'm not hearing a lot. Or these patches in my life where I just, prayer is not the first thing I go to. It's not my go-to, like, I need to pray about this. Now, some of you are prayer warriors. This is your thing. Like, when you're struggling, this is the first thing you go to. For me, I don't often go here first. And I recognize that as a flaw in myself. And I recognize that as a flaw in the community of believers, too. When we think we can accomplish anything or do anything together absent prayer, we are deceiving ourselves. This is the most important thing that the first century church did, and that every church that's ever existed has done. Prayer. Prayer individually and corporately. This is what packs the Holy Spirit, empowers us to do things. And so let's dive in on this thing that we're calling a shared focus today. A shared focus. And so with any culture, with any sort of community, you've got what is essentially a shared language or a shared focus. And so pop up this first image for me. There's a lot of different ways to say hello, right? Some you may have seen some of these. There's hola and hello and aloha, I guess. I'm not sure about this one. Anybody? I don't know about that one. God dag, I'm not sure. Maybe I'm pronouncing that one wrong. Anywho, there's a lot of different ways to say hello. There's a lot of different cultures out there that say a lot of different things just to say the simple greeting of, hey, what's up? Good to see you. There's a lot of different ways to say hello. And there's a certain culture that should be around church and authentic community. There should be a certain language that we're known for, and it's the language of prayer. This is the thing that separates faith from not faith. And this attitude that there is a higher being. There is a God. There is the Lord Jesus. And we serve Him. And we can actually communicate. That's what separates us from other non-faith cultures, if you will. And so we want to really dive in on this particular thing today. We've talked about a shared faith and family and food, but let's talk about this thing called a shared focus, this focus on prayer. So let's read together Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 42. It says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." God bless the reading of His Word. Amen. Here's the first thing I want you to see here. In order to have a shared focus of Christ's authentic community, we got to make prayer a priority. Make prayer a priority. Again, we see them leading this stanza off in verse 42 with, "They devoted themselves to." And there was these four devotions, this last one being the prayers. This word devoted, don't miss it, okay? It's this, I'm all about this. When we say we're devoted to something, it's supposed to be things like I'm devoted to my spouse and I'm devoted to my kids and I'm devoted to doing the right. These are things that we're all about. This is, we faced towards this thing and we're not going to be changed. And when we say that we're devoted to teaching and to prayers, this should be something that our heart is all into. And this thing that we would be devoted to prayers is just like a devotion to a spouse where we would say, you know, every day I'm going to communicate with you. Every day we're going to do things together. I want to spend my life with you. And that's the sort of devotion that I want to have with God the Father and with the Lord Jesus, is that I'm going to be in constant communication and prayer. This is my heart's devotion. It's interesting here that the word prayer is not singular. Did anyone else find that strange? Prayers. This idea that we would pray not just a rote prayer, but a whole different kinds of prayers. That we might one day be praying, you know, maybe we wake up this particular morning heavy-hearted about something. Maybe we had a tough week or whatever. And that's what we're praying about here. And prayers. We're going to talk more about, you know, the Lord's model prayer in the next point, but there's a sense here that God wants to talk to us about every little detail. That a devotion to prayers would be a devotion to constant communication with God. Look what Colossians chapter 4 says. It says, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. This isn't necessarily in my notes, but this kind of made me think of this. This idea that we would pray with an alert mind and a thankful heart, devoted to that. I don't know, do some of you struggle with your prayer life? It's okay. I'm raising my hand because I do sometimes. Yes, thank you, honest people. And some of you don't struggle here, and that's okay. God bless you. I'm glad this is just a bonus round for you then. Just take this in and go, bonus, check, got it. But for those of us who struggle with prayer, maybe there's some things we're doing wrong. It says, come to the Lord, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind. Now for me, if I'm praying on my back with a pillow behind my head, I'm not alert. I'm about to be asleep. I ain't gonna be alert. And so maybe there's just some simple things you could do in your life to have an alert mind and a thankful heart. Maybe this is what I do, because I'm weird anyway. When I prepare to preach for you guys, this is what I do in my house. And if you saw me doing this, you would think, that guy's crazy. Somebody put him away. This is how I pray, too. This is how I read, because I learned something about myself. If I sit, I start thinking about anything. Squirrel, ooh, nut. If I do anything like that, if I try to pray sitting or laying, I can't keep my train of thought. So I pray best like this. Find your place to have an alert mind. Where can you have an alert mind? Because I need an alert mind to really be in this. And this idea of having a thankful heart it's like this idea that we would devote ourselves and come to God with this mindset that whatever you will, God. Like, let it be whatever you want. I'm thankful for whatever you send my way. Coming to him in prayer saying, all right, I'm awake, I'm alert, I'm ready to go, and Lord, do as you please. Acts chapter 1 says, all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer. Now, I've mentioned this, I think, a few times over the last few weeks because we're sort of in these first few chapters of Acts. But the way that they started the early church, the first century church, the Lord, he's been crucified. He's resurrected now. He's appeared to more than 500 at one time, but he's appeared to a lot of different groups. And it's becoming widely known that this guy named Jesus, his tomb is empty. And there's a lot of different reasons out there floating around. The body's been stolen, blah, blah, blah. But there's this large group of disciples who know the truth, and they're pumped about it. And here's what they did with that piece of information. They got together, and they prayed. They got together, And they prayed. Now, how many of you, had you been there and you'd seen Jesus crucified, you'd seen this guy come out of the grave and hang out with you for a while, eat with you, fish with you, do all these things with you, boy, it'd be hard. I'm just telling you right now, I'm like a on-the-go guy. I'm ready to go. I ain't about to sit down and pray. I'm about to tell everybody, I've seen this guy that got out of the grave. I've never heard of this before. And you know what's really crazy? You know what's really crazy, everybody? I saw this same guy. He raised this other dude named Lazarus, and that was really cool. And Lazarus came out of there. Everybody thought he was going to be smelly. He came out of there looking like a zombie. It was crazy weird. But you know what? Lazarus died again, and I don't think he's coming back this time. But this guy, Jesus, who did that, he said, you know, I'm going to raise this temple back up in 3 days, and we didn't know what that meant. And then, boom, here he is, hanging out with us. Now he's ascended. We saw it all happen. Some angels appeared and said, what are you guys looking at? Get to work. If that's me in that moment, I'm going to admit to you, I'm not necessarily going to pray. I'm going to go. And that's not a bad thing. It's just not the best thing. Because what they did was Holy Spirit charged. And I've heard pastors say this for years, but they got together and they prayed for 10 days, and Peter preached for 10 minutes, and 3,000 people got saved. See, there's this crazy thing that happens in prayer. It's called God does all the work, and he has all the power, and we have none of it. And until we start tapping into that source, nothing's going to happen. And so as soon as we start saying, all right, God, it's all you. I'm alert. Whatever you want from me, I'm thankful for whatever you give me. Just please, God, let me be a part of this big thing you're doing. I want to be a part of it. And then let God move. This is my problem right here. This is where I enter the story. I enter the story and I go, okay, God, this is where I need a pause. This is where I need to say, okay, I'm super pumped about preaching and all this stuff, but I need to get super pumped about the behind-the-scenes stuff that really gets me prepared to do this job and for you to do your job and for us to actually reach the world for Christ. This is the part that no one sees, and if we don't do it, this probably won't happen. Prayer. Have you made prayer a priority? Have you actually believed that this thing makes a difference? I've noticed something when our missionaries come back from other places, when my parents have come back from other places, and when I've studied other Christians around the world, there's a unanimous theme around the world, and it's Christians praying together often. When you go to a place like China, when you go to a place like the Middle East or Indonesia, where it's not okay to be a Christian, you see these little pockets of believers getting together on their knees praying hard because they want the world to change. They want Christ to move. But you know what I don't see here in America very often? Christians feeling the need to get together and pray. It's like, oh, there's that prayer thing. I'm guilty of this even in our community group setting. It's kind of like the afterthought. Okay, well, yeah, we've discussed the word and we ate together and we told some jokes. Woohoo! Oh, we need to pray as part of the devotions. It's not what Christians around the world are doing. That's not what the gospel does. We need to get more serious about this. Will you commit to make prayer a priority in your life, recognizing that it's Christ that's the power behind the cross, not you, not the fact that you believed. Your belief is God's power too. It was His grace and mercy. So we need this power of prayer. Here's the second thing I want you to see, and I really want to dig in here. I was trying to get here quickly. Grow in the experience of praying together. Grow in the experience of praying together. This is the part that for some of you is like, ew, this is the part I really hate about church circles and church cultures, that I don't want to pray together. I don't want to do that because it's so uncomfortable and I don't know what people are going to say. It says they devoted themselves to prayer. We know this, that the early church, this is something they did. They said, let's get together, let's eat together, let's be a family. And you know what else? Let's open up some of the deepest, most hurt places, some of the places that we really don't want people to see. We're going to open that right up and let people see that in prayer. We're going to open right up and let people see it. And it says in verse 43 that awe came upon every soul. Awe came upon every soul. An overwhelming feeling of reverence, an overwhelming feeling of admiration. This thing happens in prayer, especially when people get together and pray together, and you start listening to the way that person prays and the way that person prays, and all of a sudden you start going, wow, God's a big God. He's answering prayers. He's doing things I could have never imagined. I thought he wasn't doing anything, but look, he's doing all this stuff, and I bet he's doing something in me. I just don't see it yet. This overwhelming awe and reverence starts to happen. And you know what I found very curious about this verse? It says that awe came upon every soul and many wonders and signs were being done. That's curious because you would think that would be reversed. Oh, they prayed and many wonders were done and then there was awe. No, they were in awe long before any miracles happened. Some of us are sitting there waiting for something miraculous to happen. The miracle happens right there on your knees in prayer. That's where the miracle happens. The miracle can happen sometime between 1, 2, 3 a.m. in the morning when no one else is up and you're the only one up and you can't sleep and you're praying and you're praying, and that's when God can make a miracle happen. That's when the power of Christ can come upon you. You don't need to see wonders and signs to have awe. This is what follows. The wonders and signs are as a result of the prayers and the reverence to God, and then God can move. Then God can do things. He can make things happen. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. It says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Luke 11 says, now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. You see this attitude of knowing how to pray and praying together, and this getting this thing right has been something that's been important for thousands of years, and it's no less important now. This is what the disciples wanted to know as much as anything else is, wow, we just listened to you, Jesus. We just listened to you pray. And that, I bet that was, you want to talk about awe? You know, it doesn't mention it here, but I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say that the Son of God is probably an awesome prayer. He's probably pretty good at it. And I got a feeling the disciples, the only reason they would be listening in and go, you know, Jesus, can you teach us how to do that? Because that was really good. You said some big words in there, and I really liked it. And this awe has come upon them, and they're like, wow, okay, clearly, you've got a relationship with God that we want. You've got the ability to communicate with God the way we really want to. Teach us how to do this. Teach us how to do this. And he does. This is, most of you have probably heard this. It's strange we use this particular prayer at like sporting events and stuff. I was the PK growing up. And so in football or wrestling or whatever, they were like, hey, Combs, do the Lord's Prayer, man. Get us all amped. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. You know, we'd be all chanting this thing like it was some kind of powerful move. I'm like, the more I think about it now, I'm like, that was so strange. Why did we do that? Especially in wrestling, because we'd start banging on the mat like, your kingdom come, your will be done. And then I'd go get pinned. Thanks, God. That was your will. The Lord's model prayer. Teach us how to pray, Lord Jesus. He taught us something pretty important there, though. He didn't teach us that this is what we should pray every time we pray, our Father who art in heaven. That's not what he meant by this. Here's what he did mean by it. You can pop up this next image. This is a good way to consider how to have a rhythm to your prayer. You can write this in your notes. It's a pretty quick, easy draw. But he says, our Father who art in heaven, there's this upward moment. Hallowed be thy name. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And there's this downward movement. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So God, you're great. God, do as you will in this place. And then there's this side movement. inward movement. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. Lead us not into temptation. And then outward, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. There's this rhythm to this prayer. It's not that we need to pray those words rote. It's that we need to consider these attitudes in our prayer life. That, you know what, it might be important for me to tell God about who He is. You know, it might be important for me to ask for my stuff. Like, God, give me my bread. You know, help me. Help me with this job. Help me with this person that I'm struggling to deal with. This inward. But at the same time, God, I want to see You move in my city, in my place. You know, something different happens in group prayers too. Something different happens. And sometimes, I get this, sometimes it even makes me uncomfortable. I've been around prayer circles since I can remember, you know, since I was a pretty young man. And sometimes people pray things that I'm like, I'm not even sure that's theologically true. You know, I might be sitting there listening and go, yeah, it's not even, I don't know. I don't know what you just prayed. Sometimes we get together and we pray and we're like, ooh, wow, I didn't know you were dealing with that. That's secretly I'm dealing with that too, but I didn't want to talk about it. This thing happens in group prayer. It's called we get to be vulnerable. See, we've talked for weeks about, okay, let's talk about the teaching. Let's open up the Word. Let's be a family. Let's be a family. Let's eat together. Let's pray together. And what does it take to really be family? What does it take to really be community? It takes vulnerability. It takes being humble. It takes me saying, hey, I'm on stage right now and I'm some kind of, you know, super Christian, they say, but guess what? I'm jacked up too. And I need prayer just like you. And we're going to be vulnerable like that. It's also a time to learn. Man, I run into some people that pray, man. They pray, and they pray well. And I want to pray like that. Makes me want to turn to them like the disciples turned to Jesus and say, where'd you learn that? That's great. Something happens in group prayer. This is something we should be committed to, not just to our individual prayer, but to our corporate prayer, that this is something we want to do together more than just Sunday mornings, that, hey, if you guys are getting together outside of this place, that if you're having a meal together, you should pray together. If you're getting together just doing the simplest of things, why don't you throw a little prayer in the mix and see what God might do? Let this be a part of your life entirely. Make this a priority. Here's the last thing I want you to see. Let praying together change your focus to God's. Let praying together change your focus to God. It says in verse 47 that they were praising God, they were having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day. The Lord added to their number. This is the power of prayer. And here's what we know Peter has done. We know that the disciples, they prayed for 10 days, and we know that Peter gets up and he delivers a pretty good message. You can read this if you go back to just a few verses before what we're reading now. He unpacks some of the Old Testament scriptures, he unpacks some things, and the response to that is, what do we do with this information now? And a bunch of people got saved. The delivery of the message is important. You being willing to be a messenger is important. Don't hear me say that. But what's more important is what's happening behind the scenes in prayer. What's happening back there is everybody getting together and saying, you know what, the Lord adds the number day by day. This is an interesting thing for me because I like to debate. I like to think that I can convince people of stuff. It's because I'm kind of a talker and a thinker and a logical person, and I think that if I say the right thing in the right package and just out of you can that thing right to you, that maybe you're just going to be convinced. And sometimes a weak-minded person might be. But most people aren't won over by your witty, witty thoughts. Most people aren't really interested in how much you know.
oh, but I went to seminary and I've got all this interesting information and you can have it and it's free.
Oh, well, I thank you, but I don't even believe God's real. So you can just go ahead and put that somewhere else. I don't want it. Oh, but this and this and this and Plato and blah, blah, blah. Here, take it back. It's funny because it's not so funny when it actually happens to me, because it has happened to me, and this is the kind of thing where I realize, okay, I'm sure, I know some things, I'm fairly smart, okay, that's great. But here's what's interesting about the gospel. Here's what's interesting about what the Lord's doing in the world, is that He makes the foolish look strong, and He makes the strong look foolish, and He can use my foolishness to win the world. He doesn't need my strength, whatever I think that might be. What He needs, if God needs anything, but if what He needs from me is me to be devoted. That's all He needs. If I want to be a part of what God's doing, then He needs my devotion to His teaching, to His people, and to Him in prayer. Then the Lord can add day by day to their number. The Lord can do it. Now that might seem to you kind of like a, well, I can just take a back seat. The Lord's going to do the work. That's not what I'm seeing here. That's not at all what I'm seeing. What I'm seeing is, here's a bunch of gung-ho people like myself who want to get out there and do the work. And what the Lord's really saying is, hey, I'm pumped for you. I'm glad you're amped about this. But don't forget the most important part of this power is a prayer. Don't forget the most important part is me on the journey with you. So devote yourself to me and let's go. And I can use you. I can use you in this. Some of you are struggling with a lot of different things right now. You've got a lot of stuff on your mind, and it has nothing to do with sharing your faith or nothing to do with the gospel per se. It might have something to do with, you know, I feel like I'm failing as a parent, as a spouse. This job's not working out. Here's the fact. The Lord's in charge of all of that stuff too. It's not just that He's adding day by day the number of people who believe. It's that He's in control of the workplace. He's in control of your marriage. He's in control of all of this. And the problem underneath all of this is more than just the fact that you keep fighting or the fact that your kids are so obnoxious. The problem underneath all of this is that you're not devoted. The problem underneath all of this is that you've yet to say, okay, God, I can't do it. I can't do it. I need you. I need your power in this. And when you get to that place, then the Lord can start to do some stuff. Luke chapter 22, verse 42 says, Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. This is what Christ says in the garden. This is what prayer looks like in the Son of God's mouth. Even Him, the one who descended from the throne to take on our sin and ascended again after He conquered sin and death for us, this is how He prays. Not my will, but yours be done. If that's how He's praying, that's how we should be praying. Not my will, God. I want to fight what You want, but I'm releasing it. You do Your work. 1 John chapter 5 says, this is the confidence that we have towards Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, that's very important in the text, if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of Him. Not my will, God, but Yours be done. But now, God, that I know what Your will is, I'm going to ask away. Let's go get Him. Just a final thought before I close. I think maybe the biggest reason that we struggle in this area of prayer, not just personally but corporately, is that for the most part we lack patience. We lack patience. We want everything now. I think perhaps this is why much of the rest of the world gets this better than we do, because we're a fast food world over here and we want it now. And I tell you this much right now, the things that we get at fast food restaurants are killing us. These Big Macs, they're delicious. They're going to kill us. And this is what we want our prayer life to be like. Give it to me now, God. And he ain't gonna, because he's not trying to kill us like a Big Mac. Patience. God's timing is impeccable. Prayer is the most important weapon we have. Better than our minds, better than our bodies, better than our hearts beating, this prayer is the most powerful weapon we have. Acts chapter 4, this is a little later on, after these people have come to faith and Peter and John are hanging out and there's been a prayer meeting, man. There's been a prayer meeting like none other. And in Acts chapter 4, it says, when they were released, so man, they've been praying and finally everybody's out of there like, whew, boy, that was a, man, we broke a sweat in there praying. When they were released, they went to their friends and they reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and they said, Sovereign Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. While you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Now, I don't know. You might read this passage and go, okay, the place was shaken. And I think God can do whatever God wants to do. I mean, like these people were saying, wow, There's these people out here that are trying to kill us, but God, you've kept us from danger to this point. You've allowed us to keep teaching and witnessing to these people and allow us to be even more bold, God. And they prayed, and the place was shaken. You know, some of us aren't ready for heaven yet when we don't believe that this kind of stuff can happen. Power of prayer. The place can be shaken. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. What do you say we start making this a priority as a church? Like, for some of you that are the prayer warriors in the camp, make this a priority for us. In your groups where you get together, in these little pockets where you get together, make prayer a priority. Because this is what God can do. The Lord can add to His kingdom day by day if we will be devoted. Let's pray together now. Heavenly Father, thank you for just the opportunity to get to come and approach your throne at all. Like that's one of the most amazing things about who you are and what you've done for us. Is that you're so great. You made all things. You know all things. You're all powerful. You could do whatever you want. You could make a whole new universe, make a whole new people that would never run from you and never do anything against you but love you forever. And God, you decided instead to shower your love and your grace and your mercy on a people, some of which will never choose you. Thank you for that, God. And then beyond that, not only did you love us enough to die on a cross for us and conquer death for us, but you allow us to speak to you openly like we would speak to a friend. That's incredible. God, thank you for that. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help each and every one of us to make this a priority in our life. That it'll be the first thing we do in the morning. It'll be the thing we do throughout the day. It'll be the last thing we do when we lay down. That we can't get enough of the fact that your grace and mercy is so great that we get to communicate with you whenever we want to, Lord. And let us never stop doing it. Help us to not miss that humongous benefit that you've given us. Lord, empower us with your Spirit. Lord, take control of our lives. Start bringing those people around us to yourself. Use us in our workplaces. Use us in our families. Use us in any way you see fit. Lord, your will be done, not ours. Lord, we love you, Lord Jesus. Help us to be devoted to you in prayer forever. It's in your name we pray. Amen.